I'd like you to turn with me this evening in the Word of the Lord to the Gospel of Matthew. Turning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. And it is good to have two fellow Ulster Canadians in the meeting tonight. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, and we'll begin our reading at verse 8. Matthew 22 and the 8th verse. Then saith he, that is the king, to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which are bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. We will end the reading of God's holy and precious word with the earnest prayer that God will speak to us tonight through his infallible word. Once again, may I ask everyone who knows the Lord tonight, here in the tent, to look to the Lord now in prayer, to join with me for an outpouring of the Spirit of God tonight. We need that fresh anointing. We need that fullness of the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to work in this tent. And so would every Christian pray tonight that the Holy Ghost will come down and that God will send the fire. Let us all pray. Most gracious and loving Father, we do thank thee once again that thy Lord has been pleased, thou Lord in grace and mercy has provided for sinners another opportunity to get ready to meet their God. Eternal Father, we bless thee for this. And, O Lord, we ask tonight that indeed grace might reach and save souls in this tent. We pray, Lord, that in wrath thou would remember mercy. And, O Lord, those whom thou hast been speaking to, those, Lord, who have been concerned and been convicted about their state of their soul, Lord, tonight I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, give deciding grace tonight. Rob hell of souls. I pray tonight that brands will be plucked from the burning. An eternal God prayer will be answered in this tent this evening. Indeed, Lord, let the fire of heaven fall. Fill me, Lord, with the Holy Ghost. Enable me, Lord, to preach the word. And in so doing, help me, Lord, to preach Christ and to preach the blood. In the Savior's holy name, I pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 22, and our text for this evening are the words of verse 12. Verse 12. And he saith unto him that is the king that organized this great feast to honor his son who was about to be married. In verse 12, and he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. When handling eternal matters, it is most important that the preacher does so not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but rather in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. For if the gospel is hid, if the hearers of the gospel cannot understand what the preacher is saying, then the gospel will be hid to those who will perish, to those who are lost. And so it is important that the preacher speaks in plain terms that the hearer will understand the language of the preacher. I would not want any soul in the day of judgment to point the finger at this preacher and to say, I sat under his ministry and I didn't understand what he said. And I couldn't understand the gospel that he preached. And so for the past 2.5 weeks, we have endeavored to be as plain, as straightforward, and as simple, and as personal as God has enabled us to preach. So it was with the Lord Jesus. For the Lord Jesus is telling this story about the king and the marriage supper for his son. And the Lord Jesus, of course, is the man who is the preacher of whom it was said, never man spake like this man. It was also said of Christ, the common people heard him gladly. He spoke in their language. He used terms and words that his hearers understood. And lest they would misunderstand what he had to say, he would also and often deliver the gospel message by way of a parable. And he would tell a story that the people would understand, that would illustrate the gospel truth that he was teaching. And so here is this greatest of all preachers. And he's speaking on the subject of the kingdom of heaven. And he wants his hearers to understand that they need to make preparation if they're going to be in the kingdom of heaven. And to help them understand, he tells this story about a king. And he holds this great feast, this great marriage feast, for his son. He has opened the wedding feast to one and all. And he has sent out his servants to invite people to come. Some made excuse. Some said they would not be there. There were those who refused the invitation. Just as it has been this week, and last week, and the week before. The gospel invitation has been given to one and all, young and old. Everybody here in this tent who has frequented this place of worship and gospel preaching, everybody has been invited to come to Jesus Christ. The invitation has been given. Glory to God, there are those who have accepted the invitation. But unfortunately and sadly, there have been those who have refused the invitation. Just as the Lord Jesus himself said, some people would refuse the invitation. Some would make excuse. Some here tonight perhaps have been making excuses. Why you shouldn't, why you can't come to the Lord. Do you know what I would advise you to do? To scrap all those excuses. Tear them all up. And be honest with yourself and be honest with God. And tonight, accept the invitation of the gospel that will be extended to you. And so the Lord tells this story about this feast that was prompted by mercy and grace and kindness, in that they all were invited to come. Now, as we said, there were those who refused to come, but our attention this evening wants to focus upon one man. For the Lord Jesus himself singled out this one man. When the king came to view all the guests who had accepted the invitation, the king viewed all the guests that were before him and he saw one man. One man who did not have on the wedding garment. And he was thrown out. And he was cast into outer darkness. Now listen. These are the words of the Lord. What we have before us tonight are the words of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus speaks about a man who attended a wedding feast but was not prepared for that wedding feast. He didn't have on the wedding garment, and he was bound hand and foot, taken out, cast into outer darkness. These are the words of the Lord, not mine. I didn't write this. These are the words of Christ. Now you believe him, don't you? You believe the Lord Jesus, don't you? And so here the Lord focuses attention upon this one man. And we notice here, first of all, the complaint about the man. All the guests at the wedding feast had been invited by the king. He had sent out his servants with the simple message, "Come." Is not a lovely word. Come. Come, for all things are now ready. How often do you read and come across that word in the Gospels? How often do you read that word coming from the lips of the dear Savior? Come. Come unto me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's a lovely word when it comes to the gospel. All things are now ready, so you can come. We'll use that word tonight. We'll use it right now. The Lord Jesus is saying to you, my friend, come unto me. He's inviting you. He's extending to you an invitation to come to the marriage feast of the Lamb. That's what this story's all about. The marriage supper of the Lamb. There are those in the tent tonight. You've received your invitation. You've accepted the invitation. And glory to God, I'll see you there at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Maybe I'll be sitting beside you. But I'll be there. But there are those in the tent at this moment in time who have not accepted the invitation. And if you haven't accepted the invitation, then you'll not be there. That's straightforward enough. You will not be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You will be like this man who was not prepared for the marriage feast, was not properly attired, was then bound hand and foot, taken away and cast into outer darkness. You'll meet that man there. I would advise you this evening, as the invitation goes out to you, that you accept the invitation. Notice when the king came in to see the guest, in verse 11, we notice here the appearance of the sovereign, the appearance of the king. Now, even though the invitations to the wedding had feast had come from the king, they were delivered by his servants. The servants of the king had gone into the highways and the byways and compelled the people to come in, giving them the invitation from the king. Now, whenever the king came in to view the guests, it was the first time that the guests had seen the king. It was the first time for them to appear before the king. Up until this moment, they had been dealing with the king's servants. It was the king's servants that delivered the invitation. But the Lord Jesus here tells us that it was the king who came in to look at the guests, and it was the first time the guests had appeared before the king. Now, you can apply the story very easily. You can see, I'm sure, the truth that the Lord is teaching here. The servants of the gospel go out and preach the gospel, and through the gospel they give the invitation for men and women to come to Christ. Up until tonight, and indeed if you're here tomorrow night and the rest of the mission, in many ways you'll be dealing with the preacher. Preacher will be the one who will be standing before you. But wait. There's a day coming when the preacher or the preachers will be set to one side. And you will appear before the king for the very first time. You'll appear before God. You're sitting in this tent this evening, and you're viewing the preacher of the gospel, but the hour is coming when you will appear before Almighty God. You will meet God one day. And that's the gospel truth. You will stand before Almighty God. And you will see the King for the first time. Up until now, as we've said, anything that you've learned about God and about His Word, anything you've learned about the cross work and about Christ and about the blood and about the atoning death, you've learned it from His messengers, His servants. But that day will come to an end. The door of mercy will close. The door of opportunity will close. The door of grace will close. And then you must deal with God. Stand before Him. I'm telling you, you'll stand before God. And there you'll see Him on His great white throne. And He'll run His eye over all that stand before Him, just like the king in the parable who ran his eye over all who were before him. And he saw one man there without the wedding garment. And he was taken away. And that hour is coming near when you will be summoned to appear before God. Let me say this. When that hour comes, whenever it is, you better make sure you have the wedding garment. You better make sure you're dressed in the wedding garment. In other words, you better make sure you're washed in the blood and dressed in the righteousness of Christ. You better make sure. Because if you don't have on the wedding garment, you'll be taken away, cast out of God's sight and into outer darkness. That's what the Lord Jesus said. You notice the appearance of the sovereign. He appears before the people. And they see Him for the first time. You notice also the appalling sight. It says that the king came in to see the guests. Doesn't say when he came in. Just says the king came in. You don't know when you're going to meet the king. You don't know when you're going to meet God. You don't know when you're going to pass into eternity. You don't know when you leave behind friends and family. When you leave behind your home and your possessions. You don't know. Sure you don't. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. You don't know. But that hour is coming. In such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Will you be ready? Will you be ready when you have to meet the King? Will you be ready when you have to stand before Him? Will you? You need to have on the wedding garment. You need to be properly attired. You need to be properly prepared. The king came in to see the guests. And there you have his gaze. Once when the Lord was in the synagogue in Capernaum, there were those who watched him. Savior always had people watching him. There were those who watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. They were watching him. But then we read this in Mark 3 and verse 5, "And when he had looked round about on them, with hardness, with anger being grieved for the hardness of their hearts." Do you see that? Do you notice what happened? We're told that when the Lord looked round about on them, he could see the hardness of their hearts. What does that tell us? It tells us that the Lord Jesus was able to look into the very heart of those who were sitting there before him. He could see everything. They may have been dressed in long, flowing robes. They may have been regarded as the religious leaders of the day. People may have feared them. People may have looked upon them as holy men. But God in Christ Jesus had a different view of them. He looked into their hearts. He looked beyond the white robes. He looked beyond their profession. He looked beyond their religiosity. He looked into their hearts. And we are told he was grieved. He was grieved by what he saw in the heart. What does he see in your heart tonight? I'm very aware that God sees my heart and looks into my heart and knows all that's there. I cannot hide one thing from him. My heart is an open book before his eyes. And so is yours too. And when God looks into your heart, I wonder what he sees. Does he see those hidden sins? You know those sins that hide in your heart that you wouldn't want anybody else to know about? You know those sins you hide because if anybody found out about them, you would be ashamed. You would blush. Maybe you would even start blushing now at the very thought of them. God sees them. Oh, the preacher may not see them. Your wife or your husband may not see them. God sees them. God sees your heart. God knows what's there. When he looks into your heart, does he see those heinous sins, those vile, corrupt, filthy sins? They're there. You hide them. God sees them. Those hateful sins. God sees all. Let me say this. God will judge you for your sins. Let me say this. Judgment follows on sin as sure as winter follows summer. As sure as night follows day. Judgment will come upon you because of your sins. And that's for sure. The only way you can avoid the judgment of God is to have your sins removed. And glory to God, then the judgment of God will not fall on you. But have you had your sins removed? Or do you sit in the tent tonight with a heart and all its filthiness and rottenness and depravity? God sees it all. He came in and viewed the wedding feast. And with eyes that burn as a flame of fire, he knew all about this man. He knew the truth about this man. And those same eyes look into your heart tonight. And those eyes that burn as a flame of fire, they burn away all the hypocrisy. They burn away all the pretense. They burn away that false profession. And they get to the truth. And the truth is, you're not saved. The truth is, you're not washed in the blood. The truth is, you haven't put on the garments of Christ's righteousness. Well, the Lord's inviting you tonight. He says, come. That's that word again. Come. And I will make you white and wash you in the blood. I will give you the garment for the wedding feast. I will give you the wedding garment that you may also join others at the wedding, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like to be at the wedding, at the marriage supper of the Lamb? Well, you've been given an invitation. And listen, if you don't accept that invitation, you have nobody to blame but yourself. And the invitation's been given tonight, and you've been asked to come. Come to the wedding. Come to Jesus Christ. Come to the King tonight. Do you know something? He'll accept you. He'll bring you to the wedding feast. So why don't you come? It's the gaze in any of the garment, because we're told the king came in to see the guests, and that he gazed upon them, and that gaze revealed one man without a wedding garment. This highlights for us this man's disobedience. Notice he was the only one. Do you notice that? It says the king came in and he saw there a man. Verse 11. One man. One man out of that great company of people who came to the wedding feast, to the wedding supper. One man. And that one man, the order was given, take that man, bind him hand and foot, get him out of here, cast him into outer darkness, he shouldn't be here. One man. One man was out of place. One man wasn't ready. Who's the one man or woman in your house who's not ready to meet God? Maybe you're that one. Just one. The rest of the family has been gathered into Christ over the years. Mom and Dad have got saved. Your brother or sister's got saved, and you're the one still out of Christ. One person. You're the one. You don't want to be the one for whom the order is given. Bind that one person. Bind them hand and foot. and cast them into outer darkness. You don't want to be that one person, surely. You don't want to be the one who's cast down into hell while the rest of your family go up, up to glory. Surely you don't want to be the one who doesn't reach heaven because you're not prepared. And this man knew that to enter into that wedding feast, to be part of the marriage supper, he knew he needed to be prepared, properly prepared, properly attired, but he was disobedient. He didn't see to it that he had the proper garment on. No. He thought he could sneak in some other way. Well, my friend, if you try that game, you'll be cast into outer darkness too. Don't be disobedient. The Lord in His Word says, ye must be born again. You must be born from above. In other words, ye must be saved. Must. Now, if you're not saved and you behave in a disobedient way, like this man in the story that the Lord Jesus was speaking about, if you disobey God's word when God says you must be saved, then you'll be cast out of God's sight. You can't play around with the Lord. You can't play around with the Lord and His truth and His word. You cannot be disobedient and disobey God and expect to be in heaven with all the others who love the Lord and are washed in the blood. Just because mom and dad are saved, don't you think for one moment that you can get into heaven by proxy some way or other. Oh, well, mom and dad saved. The Lord will not keep me out. Yes, He will. Your sin will keep you out. You need to get ready. You need to get ready, and you need to get ready tonight. Come tonight. Tonight. Come. For all things are now ready. Something we want to say about this man's garment, or the lack of it. We look upon it as a gift. This garment, this wedding garment. You may look at that there and say, well, where's the gift? Well, you see, it was the custom in our Lord's day to present every gift, every guest that was invited to a wedding. It was the custom to present every wedding guest with a garment, a wedding garment. It was given to them, bought and paid for. All who were invited and accepted the invitation, they were given this garment as a gift. They put it on, they were brought into the wedding feast. This man would have been presented with this gift, but he refused to put it on. He refused to accept the gift. And that's the game you're playing too, isn't it? That's the business that you're at. Here for these past 2.5 weeks, through the preaching of the gospel, you have been offered the gift of eternal life. You've been offered the gift of forgiveness, the gift of pardon, the gift of salvation. the gift of heaven. And what have you done? You know what you've done. Like this man, you have refused the gift of eternal life. And you refused the garment. You've refused the wedding garment. You'll not be at the marriage supper of the Lamb then. No point me telling you something else. There's no point me telling you, well, you've done pretty well in your life. You've lived the best you could. You've tried to be a good neighbor and a good friend. And maybe the Lord will be gracious unto you and let you in. No, He won't. I would be lying if I told you that. I would have to answer to God myself if I told you that. If you believed that, then the blood of your soul would be on me. And God would judge me for telling you something of that nature. No, I must tell you the truth. And the truth is, the Lord is offering you the gift of eternal life, and He's offering you the gift of salvation. Why don't you take it? Because if you don't accept the gift, you'll not be in heaven. We will not see you at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You'll not be there. Mom and Dad may be there, but you'll not be sitting beside them. Your husband may be there, but dear unsaved wife, you'll not be sitting beside him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I want you to think about that before you take one step towards the door of this tent tonight. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about those who have gone on before or are going on before, and you're not ready. You haven't come to Christ. You haven't received the gift. Do you notice something? The king came in and he viewed all the guests and he saw one man without a wedding garment. That was the only thing he said about him. The only thing that was mentioned about the man was the one thing, his wedding garment. He didn't have one. He had refused it. One thing. One thing. The Lord Jesus said to Martha one day, one thing is needful. The Lord said to the rich young ruler one day, one thing thou lackest. Because of that one thing, that rich young ruler walked away from the Lord. One thing. And there's just one thing mentioned here regarding this man. He didn't have on the wedding garment, and he was cast away into outer darkness. All over one thing. Tragedy, isn't it? It's tragic. A man is cast out into outer darkness all because of one thing. Is that what's going to happen to you? All because of one thing. You haven't received the gift. And the amazing thing is, my friend, it's a gift. You don't have to buy it. It's paid for. It's being given to you. You don't have to wrestle for it or fight for it. The Lord says, come and I'll give you the gift of eternal life. Could anything be more simple? Could anything be easier, more straightforward than that? I don't think so. Come, and I will give you the wedding garment, and you can sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You couldn't get anything more straightforward than that. Now, I'll tell you something. Giving to you this night the plain, simple truth of the gospel. As you sit in this gospel tent and you're offered salvation, and the preacher is saying to you simply, come to Christ. And the preacher is saying to you, a gift has been prepared for you. It has been purchased. It has been bought. You have nothing to pay. All you have to do is receive it. Now, if you refuse that gift of eternal life, if you refuse the wedding garment, how deep will be your hell? How severe will be your judgment? How terrible will be your eternity when you have purposely, knowingly, defiantly, disobediently refused the gift that Christ is offering to you tonight? I would not like to be in your shoes. The Lord said of those people in those cities where he had done some of his mightiest works, the people there in those cities had seen the works that he did, the miracles he wrought. But they still had no time for the Savior. Not many came and received him. They had been privileged to have Christ in their cities. They had been privileged to sit under his ministry. They had been privileged to listen to this preacher who spake like never man spake. They had all those privileges. The Lord described them. He says, ye have been exalted to high heaven. And ye shall be brought down to hell. No. Brought down to the lowest hell. That's what the Lord said. You've been exalted to high heaven, and you'll be brought down to the lowest hell. Now, where do you come in? You've had as many privileges, you've had as many opportunities. You've listened to a variety of gospel preachers over the years. And still tonight you sit in your sin, in your nakedness, in your shame. You haven't got on the wedding garment yet. There'd been no excuse. None. There'd been no excuse. You'll not be able to say, I wasn't offered a wedding garment. You've been offered one tonight. You'll not be able to say, I was never invited to come. Well, you've been given an invitation tonight. You say, I never had the Lord Jesus presented to me. I was never told about his salvation. I was never told I could be saved and have all my sins washed away. Well, you've been told tonight. You'll be without excuse. Telling you. Whenever this man was challenged, we are told he was speechless. He had nothing to say. Nothing to say. Because he had been invited, he had been offered the gift of the wedding garment, he had refused to wear it, refused to put it on. He had been told to come, for all things were ready. And whenever he was spotted there by the king, and the king's eyes were fixed on him, and he was challenged, "Where's your wedding garment?" He was speechless. He had nothing to say. I want you to notice something else. I want you to notice how the king addressed this man. "Friend." This guest had just insulted the king by refusing the wedding garment that had been offered to him. He had insulted the king. He had insulted the king. And yet the king says to him, or addresses him as friend. There's mercy. You talk about grace, there's grace. I often think of the Savior in Gethsemane. An old Judas, the old traitor, comes in with that band of men and their swords and staves and lanterns, with ropes and ties, are going to lead away the Lamb. And there's Judas. He's got his 30 pieces of silver. He sold the Lord out. And the Lord knew who would betray him from the beginning. And yet, how did the Lord address Judas? "Friend." He said, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" There's grace, my friend. There's grace with the Lord. There's mercy with the Lord. Who and what one of us here tonight could have said this to someone like Judas? What one of us here tonight would have called him friend? And that's the Savior I present to you tonight. You've defied him, disobeyed him, you've cast that gift back in his face. He has offered it to you. He has said, "Come and receive this gift, that you might sit down with me at the marriage supper of the Lamb." But up until tonight, you've cast it back in his face. Shame on you. Shame on you. After you've experienced and enjoyed the kindness of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord in your life, even though you haven't seen it and recognized it, for the sun shines on the just as well, or the unjust as well as the just. God's good to us all. And here is tonight offering you a gift and saying, "Come, come to the wedding feast. Come to the marriage supper of the Lamb." Believers here tonight will be there. Maybe I'll be sitting beside some of you, but we'll be there. And we'll be there and we'll see the Lamb himself. But this man, he was bound hand and foot. No escape. No escape. He couldn't run away and hide. He couldn't run away from the king. He was bound hand and foot. There was no escape. Listen to this, my friend. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There's no escape. The man was bound hand and foot and cast out into outer darkness. The king said, take him away. And that same order will be given on the great judgment day. The holy angels will bind unsaved, ungodly men. Bind them hand and foot, and the command will be given, take them away. Cast them out into outer darkness. Depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you. That word never is a strong word. The word means never at any time. Is that where you want to end up? Cast out, cast out, cast out from friends, loved ones, who will indeed be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But because you're not ready up until tonight, at least, you'll be cast away. May God tonight have mercy. May the Lord have mercy on you this evening. And may you come as he has invited you. And you'll be given the wedding garment. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The Lord has been speaking in these meetings of late, over the past 2.5 weeks. We have known of folk who have gone out troubled and concerned. And the Lord has been merciful again in giving troubled souls another opportunity. Here it is, tonight. Will you come to Jesus Christ? Will you receive his gift? Don't do what you've done on previous nights and cast that gift down at the Savior's feet, but receive it. And believe it. We want you at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We do. There are those here tonight, and they want you there even more than I do, because they know you and they love you. Maybe they're related to you. Why don't you come then? If the Lord has spoken to anyone tonight in this service, young or old, I'd like to make a very simple appeal tonight at the end of this meeting. If God has spoken to anyone this evening and you'd like to know the Lord, you'd like to receive this gift, you want to have the wedding garment, you want to be there at the wedding feast, would you do something for me? Wherever you are tonight in this tent, wonder would you just slip up your hand. When I see that raised hand, I'll acknowledge it, and I'll just simply say, you take it down. And I'll be at the door. When others have gone, we'll go over to the little cabin, we'll open the scriptures, and show you how you can receive the wedding garment. Receive the gift of eternal life. Have your sins forgiven. What about it? Let's see that hand. Just put it up now. That's right, anywhere. Is there one tonight? Quickly. Meeting's almost over. We'll soon be going on our way. This opportunity may pass you by forever. Is there one tonight, anywhere in the service? Quickly. Come. The Lord's offering you this gift. You're not going to turn it down, are you? Let's see that hand. Slip it up and then take it down. Anywhere in the meeting. If you haven't raised your hand, maybe you did and I didn't see it. Would you mention it to me at the door? I'll not embarrass you. We'll just slip quietly over to the cabin. And I'll show you how tonight. You can be sure that you'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb.